Welcome to Sandals Church. My name is Melody Workman, and I'm so glad that you are joining us this week. At Sandals, our vision is all about being real with ourselves, God, and others. And that's a vision we would love to share with you if you're new. So I would love for you, if you're new to Sandals, to go to move.sc/new. Let us connect with you, share more about our vision, and see how we can come alongside of you on your journey of faith. You know, life has been really crazy, and one of the things we're so grateful for is that in the midst of all of the craziness, we've still been able to bring programming into your homes every weekend and throughout the week. And that is only possible because of those of you who give. And so I just want to say thank you so much for giving sacrificially during a time like this, so that the work of God through Sandals can continue to go out literally throughout the entire world. And if you would like to join us, if you would like to help us continue on this mission, I would ask you to go to give.sc. In just a few moments, we're going to jump into a sermon with our lead pastor, Matt Brown. We're doing a brand new series that you're really going to love. But before we do that, we're going to worship together. And I want to encourage you to really worship God, not just to watch us, but to worship with us. Because worship isn't about where we are, it's about who God is. And so as we sing these words, I'm going to say, turn up the volume, stand to your feet, lift your voices, lift your hands, and let's worship God together. We're so glad that you're here.
Sing this together, friends. Forward to follow.
because you need our permission, but that this would be the posture of our heart, to lean in, to listen to your voice, to engage with you, God, and hear what you have to say. You're welcome in this place. We know you're here.
You are here. Moving in our midst, I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you
with confidence and say,
you are here. Moving in our
you're working. You never never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
I know that you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And 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 that is who you are. That is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you
out. out together. Here I stand.
So here I stand, high in surrender, I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever, my soul cries out. So here I stand, high in surrender, I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever, my soul cries out. And once I was broken, you loved my whole heart through. Sin has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds me now. And I've been forgiven, healed and forgiven. Look where my chains are now. There has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds that ground. Your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now.
I'm healed and forgiven. Look where my chains are. There, there's no hold on. 'Cause your grace holds me.
Faith and our hope and our trust in you, God. You alone. You alone. And I surrender. Oh. Prayer to you.
I surrender every fear, every worry. I surrender
so we can trust you, God. I surrender. Oh, I surrender all to you now. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh, to pray together. God, we thank you that you meet us in every corner of every space of every room that we occupy together as your church. As the Bible puts it, your cherished and beloved bride. We are that valuable to you, God, that you would find us where we are in our lives, in our homes, in our circumstances, and meet us in those places and continue to be present in our lives. So God, help us to continue just to offer everything that we have to you, the good and the bad, to turn over more and more of our lives to you, understanding, knowing, and trusting that what you give us in return is so, so good. So God, continue to speak to us, to keep us connected and united to you first and foremost and to your heart. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, welcome to sandalschurch.tv. Super glad that you joined us again this weekend. So thankful that you are here. Let me give you some good, just great news from last weekend. We had over 400,000 people view us on Facebook, 40,000, about 40,000 on sandalschurch.tv in 45 countries around the world. So thank you so much for everybody who is tuning in and literally listening to God during these difficult, difficult times. Also, I just, as your pastor, I want to say thank you so much for all your prayers and all your concern. Our daughter tested negative for COVID. Turns out she just had the horrible, miserable flu, which unfortunately is really good news during these difficult times. So thank you for your prayers. And please know, I'm praying for all of you out there who your test came back positive. Just know that your church is with you. Whatever you need from us, let us know so we can minister to you and care for you in your time of need. And we'll just do whatever you need. So I love you so much. Look, so many of you have direct messaged me. You've emailed me. You've gotten a hold of me by whatever means you can. And the question I've been getting over and over and over again, is this COVID-19 signs of the end of the time? Is this the end? Is Jesus coming back? And person after person has asked me this question. And so I thought, look, man, we just need to jump into a series. And I want you to know that I had this series planned for next year. So it was already in my mind because it's something that we need to be aware of, whether it's COVID or not. It's something that we need to be aware of as Christians. And so we're going to start this series called Signs. And I just want you to know, I'm not here to scare you. You're already scared. I'm here to comfort you and encourage you with the signs that the Bible teaches us. And so I just want you to just know this. This series is not about scaring you. It's about encouraging you. If you're a Christian, signs is for those that believe it's going to encourage your faith. What it's going to show you is God's still in control. Look, we realize we're not in control. God's in control. And for those of you who are not believers, I want to encourage you to come to faith. Look, these signs are here for a reason. Just like when you're driving. I know some of you, you've gotten cooped up, you got cabin fever, and you just went for a drive. When you go for a drive, signs direct you, especially when you don't know where you're going. And I don't want you to miss the signs. The signs are here to direct you and to direct you to Jesus. So let's just begin with a word of prayer and let's ask God to calm our anxiety and our fears and our worry. And just know the same God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God who is in charge of the heavens and the earth right now. And he's in charge of you and he's in charge of me. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, even as we watch from our homes and on our computers and some of us on our phones at work. God, we pray that you would calm our fears, that you would speak to us right now, and that you would help us to understand that signs are meant to encourage us to remain believing or to encourage us to come to faith and become a believer. So, Father, we pray that you would just bless us with your Holy Spirit and you would speak through this message. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to take a look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. So last weekend was Easter weekend. Jesus Christ died. He was crucified on a cross. He rose from the dead. And in the book of Acts, it now transitions from the life of Jesus to the life of the church. But something super important happens in Acts chapter 1, and it's one of the first signs that we need to look for. It's one of the first things that we need to be aware of as believers. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. So Jesus wasn't with them all the time. He appeared from time to time. They never knew when and they never knew where. He was constantly appearing. And you say, why? Here's the answer. To prove to them in many ways that he was actually alive. So sometimes it's an awkward hug with Mary. Sometimes it's fish tacos with the disciples. One time he walks right in the middle of a locked room. We talked about that last weekend. And one time he looks right in the face of doubting Thomas. And he says, touch my hands, touch my side, and see that it is really me. So I don't know where you are today, but I want you to be encouraged. Jesus is alive. And if you believe in him, you will be as well forever. So here he goes again, eating. Once he was eating with them and he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, he says, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him. Now, if you're a parent, you understand what this is like. Your kids just keep asking you and asking you and asking you, you know, mom, dad, when are we going to get there? When is this going to happen? You know, when do we get to go back to school? How long are we going to be, you know, in our homes? You know, when? And we're all asking these questions. And so they're pestering Jesus. Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? So here's what they want to know. When is the end? When is it going to be the end? When are you going to restore things and make things right? When is earth going to be the way it's supposed to be? When are you going to be in charge and we're not going to have politicians who are in it for their own interests? When, Lord, will you take over? In verse 7, Jesus replies, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. For they are not for you to know," he says, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, and while they were watching, they could no longer see him. And I love this part. As they strain to see him rising, they're straining to see him rising. He's going up into the clouds. They didn't realize that as Jesus went up, something came down. As they strained their eyes, looking up into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you." Look at this. "Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday, he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." And here's what many of us are doing. We're looking at the wrong things. You're staring up in the sky and you didn't realize that God has put an angel right next to you. Right next to you. Some of you right now in your homes, as I speak, you're saying, "God, where are you?" And right now, for the first time in your life, you're tuning into church and what God is doing. You don't realize that God has sent his church, a messenger, to you in your home to encourage you. He's with you. And some of us are so distracted, staring at nothing, we don't realize that something is happening right next to us. So I want to teach you today some Christian theology. Now, some of you, you've been Christians for a long time and you don't know this. Okay, that's on you, but you're going to know it now. Some of you are new to the church or you don't know Jesus, and this just sounds crazy. But I want you to know, a lot of things in the Bible seem crazy until they happen. And then when they happen, it proves that God's not crazy. We're crazy for not trusting God. So number one, I want you to write this down. Here's what you need to know about the end of the age. Here's what you need to know about the return of Jesus. Write this down. Jesus will return. He will return and he will return. It will be a physical reality. His return will be a physical reality. So many people, they look at the Bible and they try to make it some metaphysical, spiritual thing where, you know, the ascension of Jesus is just all how we all ascend and how we all rise. And it's all ridiculous. It's a bunch of spiritual mumbo jumbo. Look, Jesus was born a real baby. He lived a real life. He died on a real cross and he rose again with a real body. And that real body ascended into heaven and it sits right now. As I speak, as you listen, it sits at the right hand of God. And that real body, that real person that was really crucified by sinful men will return. It's going to be a reality. Some of you think, well, you know, religions are all just made up. Most of them are. This one's not, and here's how we know. Because Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection vindicates Jesus. He's not just a philosopher. He's not just a religious leader. He's the son of the one true God, and he proved it by rising from the dead. That's why he keeps having to show himself. He kept having to show himself over and over again to show him, yep, still alive, still alive, still alive. I'm still here. I'm still alive. They couldn't believe it because when people are dead, they're dead, but not Jesus. Jesus' return will be a physical reality. Let's take a look together at Acts 1:11. Jesus, these are the angels speaking, has been taken from you into heaven, but someday He will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to return again. He's going to return again on the exact same mountain. In the Holy Land, if you ever get to come with me, literally you have the Mount of Olives, then you have the Kidron Valley, the Valley of Judgment that we talked about on Palm Sunday, and then you have Jerusalem, the Eastern Gate. So you have the Mount of Olives where Jesus descended into judgment, and then he came through the Eastern Gate, and he went into the holy city, and ultimately he was betrayed, crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. Here's the thing that you need to understand. Christians, Jews, and Muslims all consider this valley a very holy place. If you go to the Mount of Olives today, listen to me if you're a Jewish person, today, if you go to the Mount of Olives, you can stand on the Mount of Olives and you will see the entire mountainside covered in Jewish graves. Let me say it again, Jewish graves. And here's why. Orthodox Jews believe that the resurrection will begin on the side of the Mount of Olives. Even though they don't believe in Jesus, even though they don't follow Jesus, they believe it is the resurrection hill. So they all want to be buried there so they can rise first, right? They want to be first. Isn't that interesting? They reject Jesus, but the Bible says, the Christian Bible says, this is where the resurrection begins. Jesus will appear here, right where he went up. He's coming down right here. So the Muslims, they don't believe in Jesus, so they took the other side of the hill. So Jews are buried on one side. The Muslims, they buried all their dead on the other side because here's what they think. If you put corpses along the eastern side, a holy man cannot walk through a graveyard, so he can't ever come through the temple. He can't ever come into the temple again where a Muslim mosque sits on top nowadays. So they put a graveyard right there thinking the risen Jesus, if he comes back, we want to be protected. And they walled up, listen to me, they walled up with bricks and stone the Eastern Gate. So they don't believe in Jesus. But just in case he comes, they put a graveyard and a solid wall so he can't come back through. Let me tell you something. If Jesus couldn't be held back by death, a graveyard and some stones aren't going to keep him from walking into the temple again. The angel said in the same way he went up, he's coming again. In the same way, Hebrews 9:28 says this. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many. This idea only occurs two times in the entire Christian Bible. And you can underline it. To bear the sins. Jesus took your sins. He took my sins and he bared them. He carried them on his back. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus took the weight of your sin, your guilt, everything that you've done wrong, and he put it on his back and he carried it to the cross. This Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear, underline these words, will appear a second time. A second time. So the entire Hebrew Bible consists of these prophecies about a coming Messiah who will come and set his people free. The Christian Bible talks about the coming of that Messiah. And yes, he did come and those prophecies were true and his name was Jesus. But here's what the Christian Bible teaches us. So the Hebrew Bible teaches us he was coming. The Christian Bible teaches us he did come and is coming again. He's coming again. And you need to be ready. You need to be ready. Not for the little baby Jesus. The little cute 6-pound, 8-ounce Jesus, right? You need to be ready for the risen King who's coming again. The Bible says that he came as a lamb the first time. The second time, he will return as a lion. The second time, it says, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Waiting for him. Some of you didn't even know that he was coming back. Some of you haven't missed him. He's been gone for 2,000 years. Look, I have daughters and I love them both, and both of them have boyfriends. And so we made a decision in our house because of COVID-19 that we were going to shelter in place, nobody in, nobody out. Now, my girls love me, but here's the truth is, girls love their daddy until they find a boyfriend, right? And then daddy's like, what do we need him for, right? But my girls are good, and they've submitted to me, and they've trusted me on this. But here's the truth. They miss their boyfriends. They miss them, right? They don't miss me at all. I don't know how your house is. Everybody's irritated. We've had way too much quality time, right? So I relented this week. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Your boyfriends can come over if you meet them in the garage and they sit on a chair 10 feet away. 10 feet away. There's got to be 10 feet between you. The government says 6 feet. Daddy wants 4 more feet, right? I want 4 more feet, right? We want 2 Jesuses laid down side by side between you. And the girl said, okay, we'll do that. And it was hilarious, right? It's hilarious. I go out in the garage to make sure they're following the rules. Sure enough, 10 feet apart. I love you. I love you more. I love you more. Like my wife is like, I need 10 feet right now. Boom, get away from me, husband. My wife is taking social distancing seriously. She's like, be gone, be gone. And if that's not enough, she just goes, you know, gets in the car and goes away because she's had enough Pastor Matt time. Man, I went in the garage and I watched my daughter interact with her boyfriend. And I was like, man, I wish Tammy and I loved each other like that, you know? It's like, geez, you know, they've only been apart for 10 days. Listen to me. We've been apart from our Lord for over 2,000 years. And some of you don't miss him at all. Maybe that means you don't know him at all. You don't know him. And if you do know him, maybe you've forgotten that you're supposed to love him. You're supposed to want him to come back. You're longing for him to come back and make things right. To make things right. I mean, look at us. Look at us. A little tiny virus we can't even see with our eyes can disrupt everything. That's how powerless we are. Jesus, when he comes back, he can tell the coronavirus to go away forever, and it does. Because the coronavirus knows something that many of you don't know. It knows who's in charge, and his name is Jesus. Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. We should be waiting for him. The Bible gives a picture of an expectant bride waiting for her husband. My girls have missed their boyfriends 10 days. The church has missed their king for 2,000 years. And we are awaiting the wedding. Man, can you imagine? I wish I could tell my girls, you can get married in 2,000 years. You know, enjoy it. But they're not going to wait for that. The church has had to wait. The bride has to wait for the groom for 2,000 years. Titus, one of the disciples of the Apostle Paul, he says this. He says, we look forward with hope. With hope. Some of you are afraid that Jesus is coming. If you're afraid of the coming of Jesus, you are not right with Jesus. We look forward with hope to that wonderful day, that wonderful day, that amazing day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. It's a great day. It's a glorious day. It's going to be awesome. Some of you look forward to the opening of Disneyland more than you look forward to the return of Jesus. You care more about the mouse than you care about the Messiah. We got to remind ourselves, he's coming again. He's coming again, and we need to be ready. Number one, Jesus, his return will be a physical reality. It is going to be a real thing. Number two, write this down. The return of Jesus will be a public spectacle. It will be something like you've never seen in your life. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be bizarre, powerful, wonderful, terrifying. It's gonna be everything. The Apostle Paul, trying to encourage a church who is terrified, a church in Greece, a church called Thessalonica, he tries to instruct them about the return of Jesus. And he says this, for the Lord himself, again, he's coming. The Lord himself will come from heaven with a commanding shout, right? You're not gonna miss it. With a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God. Can you imagine? The trumpet call of God. And it says this, first, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who still remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we'll be with the Lord forever. Look, you're not going to miss this. You're not going to miss it. Like Jesus Christ is going to appear just like he left. Look, it's going to be on everybody's cell phones. People are going to be Instagramming live the return of Jesus. Oh my gosh, it's him, it's him, it's him. It's him. And some of you are going to want to give your life to Jesus at that moment, but it's too late. You see, the Bible says every knee will bow, right? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And some of you can be like, I always knew it. I mean, I didn't live it, but I always knew it. And it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. You have an opportunity to bow now, willingly, or you have an opportunity to bow later, forcefully. God's giving you a chance. He's giving you a chance. It says, we will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord, and we will be with him forever. That's heaven. That's heaven. Heaven is not a place where you knit forever. I know some of you love knitting. That's hell for me. Heaven is not a place where you play golf forever, where you sing forever, where you dance forever. Heaven is a place where Jesus is. And we get to live out our true purpose, and we get to experience our true power that he created us with, because we will be totally fulfilled by him. And we will see him as he is, and we will see ourselves as we were always meant to be. So let's run through this together. Number one, it says Jesus will appear in the sky. We're going to see him. Everyone is going to see him. This is something that will be literally celestial. It will be in the heavens. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the heavens will announce the appearing of Jesus. We will see him. We will all see him for who he is. For who he is. The disciples got a little picture of who he was at a thing called the Transfiguration. And they were terrified. They were terrified as the mountain was surrounded by clouds. The clouds always symbolize the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the Jews followed God by fire at night and cloud by day. A cloud shows God's presence. When Isaiah met God in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, it says the temple was filled with smoke. The cloud, the presence of God came in that place. Just as Jesus went up in a cloud, he will return with a cloud. What that means is the power of God comes with Jesus. Next, you say, what if I'm blind? What if I can't see? There's a commanding shout. There's a commanding shout. Anybody ever heard thunder? Like, I know you, I can't see your hand, but God can see your, I mean, some of us have heard thunder. There's something powerful about a shout. There's something powerful about the voice of God. Last week, we had an earthquake here in Riverside. And typically where we live, we're on a granite mountain. Where we live, you typically hear the earthquake first and then feel it. It's like there's an announcement in Southern California. Usually it sounds like something like this where we live. It goes boom. And then you just wait for it and here it comes. But last week, the earthquake was super close to where we live. And so we didn't hear it from afar. We felt it instantly. My dog barked. The pool started to shake. Then the windows. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, is it Jesus? Nope, just an earthquake. Just Southern California. The Bible says there will be Jesus in the sky, a commanding shout, and then the trumpet call of God. And you need to understand this. In the ancient world, trumpets were used to mobilize armies. To mobilize armies. To communicate to soldiers that it's time to attack. It's time to move. It's time, listen to me, to conquer. In the ancient world, if you heard Alexander the Great's trumpets, you were doomed. If you heard the trumpets of Rome, you were doomed. The trumpets of the Persian army, you were doomed. When you hear the trumpets of God, it's over. It's over. We're doomed unless you're in Christ. Then you're found. Then you're saved. The trumpet call of God. God's literally going to signal to his angels to blow the mighty trumpets. And the trumpets will blow. Christ will appear. There's a shout from heaven. And this next one is just trippy. Like, just in case you miss all those signs, the next sign is dead Christians will rise. Man, that's creepy. Can you imagine? Like, if you work in a morgue or you work in a graveyard, can you imagine if you live in Eastern Jerusalem next to all those Jews, Muslims, and Christians all buried on the same mountain? Well, that's going to be interesting. The dead in Christ will rise, the Bible says, first. First. Because listen to me, God's shout is so powerful, it awakens the dead. Instantly, they're awakened. Instantly, they rise. And then next, believers will be raptured. They'll be raptured. The Apostle Paul says that then together with them, so the dead in Christ rise first, then those of us who are alive, we join them, and we remain, and we are caught up. Those of us who still remain on earth, we will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Man, I don't like flying on an airplane, but I guess we're good because the Lord's with us, amen? And so we're up in the air. We're caught up in the air with God. In the Greek, this word is harpazo. In this specific way, it is harpagesomitha. Sorry, a lot of words there. In Latin, it's called raptus, where in English we get our word rapture. Rapture. And you need to know this. Almost all Christians everywhere believe in the rapture because it's biblical. But almost no Christians anywhere agree on how it's going to happen because we're sinners. And let me just say to you, some of you have never heard of the rapture. Some of you believe the rapture. Some of you are in your bunker right now and you're like, I knew this was going to happen. Look, don't believe the people in the bunkers. They've always been in the bunkers. Believe the Bible. Here's what it says. The rapture is a good thing. We're going to be caught up in the Lord. And so here's what we do as Christians. We argue about, is it going to happen before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation? Let me just ask you. Most of you know about the Titanic. Can I ask you this question? If you're on the Titanic and you know it's going to sink, you know it's going to sink, and there's one lifeboat, do you care if you get on the lifeboat before you hit the iceberg? Do you care if you get on the lifeboat in the middle of the iceberg? Or do you care if you get on the lifeboat right before the ship goes under? It doesn't matter. What matters is the lifeboat. Are you on the boat? Are you in the boat with Jesus? But as Christians, we're so dumb. We argue over things that we can't control because we don't want to be obedient to the things that are in our control. And that's, are you telling your friends about Jesus? Are you? It doesn't matter whether it happens before, it happens in the middle, or it happens after. And shame on you if you spend your whole life arguing about that and you never win somebody to Christ. Instead of arguing when the Titanic sinks, why don't you help save somebody and get them on a boat? Get them on a boat and make sure they're saved forever. Here's what I want you to know. People miss the first coming. The first coming, Jesus was born in a cave. No fancy clothes, no robes of kings, but wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what that means? Cut strips of cloth. Probably some dirty old rags that Mary had for herself, and so she cut them up to fit and wrap around a little baby. The first time Jesus Christ came, there was no room for him in an inn, and he was born in a cave surrounded by animals and animal poop. That's not how he's coming a second time. He came as a humble child the first time. The second time, he will return as a conquering king. And you are either with him or you're not. And we need to make that decision. So here's what you ask. Well, when's he coming? When's he coming, Pastor Matt? Write this down. Number three, Jesus's return will be at the perfect moment. The perfect moment. You ever missed a moment? I've missed plenty of moments. I feel like that's my spiritual gift. One of the worst moments I ever missed in my life is Tammy and I had been dating for 3.5 years. We had talked about marriage. I actually had bought her engagement ring. I had it in the car under the back seat. Why? I don't know. I was a 21-year-old. Who knows what 21-year-olds think? And I took her on a date. Here in Southern California, we have this beautiful lake up in the mountains. It's called Lake Arrowhead. I took her out on this fancy date, rented a boat. We went out on this boat, out on the lake. We went for a walk. We went to a fancy restaurant. We bought food we couldn't afford. And she just knew, this is the moment. This is the moment. He's going to ask me to marry him. And we got in the car and drove home. And she was mad at me the whole way home. The whole way home, I'm like, we had a great date. Why are you upset? What's your problem? And she said, I thought you were going to ask me to marry you. She said, everything was perfect and you missed it. And I did. So we fought for a week and got engaged 7 days later, because that's how we roll. Right? Look, Here's what God is waiting for. The perfect moment. The perfect moment in time. That's when Jesus will return. So let's take a look at this scripture. So when the apostles were with him, they kept asking him. They kept asking him, Lord, Lord, when is the time? When are you going to come? When are you going to free Israel? And Jesus replied, underline this, never forget it, especially if you're sitting in your room right now and you got a chart and a graph and a book and your Left Behind series. Listen to me. Here's what Jesus says. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. And it's not for you to know. But you're like, but I got a chart. I got a graph. I studied the book of Daniel. I've interpreted the book of Revelation. Look, everybody who says they know, by definition, are wrong. They're wrong, and they're always wrong. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how many times your kids can be so convinced they're right, but they're wrong every time? We're the same way as God's kids. God told us, you can't know. You won't know. You're like, but I figured it out. There's a Bible code. Look, God knows how silly we are. He didn't write it in code. He wrote it in everyday Greek so you and I could understand. And you're like, I can't understand Greek. Well, it's translated in English. God doesn't write it in code. Do you know why? He wants you to be saved. Can you imagine you're on the Titanic and Jesus shows up and he says, hey, the ship is sinking, but I've got this code. If you can crack it, you'll find the lifeboat. That's cruel. That's mean. God's like, no, no, no. The lifeboat's right over here. Get on it. God doesn't speak to us in code. He doesn't. He speaks to us through his word. Here's what the Bible says. Here's the perfect moment. It says it will happen in a moment. In a moment. In the blink of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye is actually what it says. When the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. No more death, no more sickness, no more COVID. No more going to grocery stores with these knuckleheads who have no idea how to social distance. Have any of you had that? My gosh, I had somebody reach over my shoulder. I'm like, what? You know? I mean, I got so upset, I don't even want to tell them about Jesus because I'm a sinner. You know what I'm saying? I'll give them a little holy fire. Good Lord, people. Take some space. It says in a twinkling an eye. And we who are living, listen to me, will also be transformed. I won't be selfish anymore. My wife will love that. I won't be impatient anymore. I'm going to be different. And we who are living will also be transformed. Listen to me. We're going to be transformed like Jesus. We're going to have a new body like Jesus. We're going to be incredible like Jesus. We who love him, the Bible says, will become like him. Like him. And we will never die. There will never be sickness. I mean, I haven't been able to hug my own mom. My own mom for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks now. I'm FaceTiming her almost every day, but that's not enough. I worry about my mom and dad. Think about it. You don't have to worry about your parents anymore. Parents, you don't have to worry about your kids anymore because it's all good. Death has been defeated. Sickness has gone away. Nobody's sick. Nobody dies. Nobody worries. Everybody's safe. It's all good. You know why? Because Jesus has returned. Jesus has returned. Are you ready? Are you ready? And some of you guys were like, well, if Jesus is going to return and everything's going to be great and there's not going to be any COVID, there's not going to be any stock market crashes, I'm not going to lose my job, I'm not going to be unemployed, why on earth isn't Jesus coming? What's he waiting for? Here's the answer. The Apostle Peter says this. But you must not forget this one thing. Here's one of the things you need to know about God. Here's one of the things that makes God very different from you and from me. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. What? Like some of you guys, you get irritated in the line at Jack in a Box because your burger is 2 minutes late. You lose your mind. Like just raise your hand if you're impatient right now. Like, I'm impatient. Let me tell you how impatient I am. I couldn't even wait to go get a haircut, so I cut it myself. What do you think? Don't look too close, because I'll tell you what. Because I got impatient, I cut it myself, and this side is higher than this side. Don't look too close. Yeah, I don't want it to be a distraction. That's why I waited for the end. But we get impatient. Man, I'm not good at cutting your hair, much less my own hair. We get impatient. Some of us are impatient with each other. Some of you are impatient. Where's my check? Donald Trump said I'm going to get a check. Where's my check? And you're impatient. You ought to be grateful you're getting a check. Isn't that funny? You get mad because your free money's late. Man, the Lord, he's different. You know why 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord? Because he doesn't exist in time. He created time so you can exist. So you can exist. God exists outside of time. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the one who was, who will be, and always has been. Time is something finite. It started, listen to me, and it will come to an end. Everything in life teaches you this. A child is born beautiful, healthy. A child grows older. And one day that child dies as an old person if they live a long life. Everything dies. Redwood trees, even though they live 1,000 years, die. Olive trees can live several thousand years. Even they die. Man, even the mountains that you take for granted. Even when you go to Yosemite, those mighty, mighty, incredible, grand, you know, just epic mountains. Not even those will last forever. Even scientists know this. Our sun that warms us every day is a ticking bomb. One day it'll go off and it'll be over. Everything teaches us that everything had a beginning and everything moves towards an end. Because God said in the beginning, let there be light. Listen to me. And he spoke and he shouted you and I into existence. And one day he will shout and he'll bring it to an end. And here's what the Bible says. That person that was shouting in the beginning, his name was Jesus. Everything was made by him, for him, and through him. And right now, even if you don't believe, he holds it all together. He holds it all together. So the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. We're not very patient, are we? But the Lord is, and here's why. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. He wants everyone to repent. Here's what the Bible says. This earth is filled with sinful people, with sinful politicians. We fight over everything. We kill one another. We hate one another. We're racist, sexist. You know all the ists, right? All that has to be done away with. God is going to burn all that away. All that away. Look, God has not changed his mind. He hasn't decided not to return. God is waiting for you to change your mind about Jesus so that when he returns, he can take you with him home forever and you won't be a part of the destruction. You see, here's what Noah teaches us. The story in the Bible of Noah teaches us that the earth can get so bad, it has to be destroyed. It can't be fixed. Sometimes things get so bad, they have to die. And so that's what the Bible teaches. The earth has gotten so bad, and it wasn't enough in Genesis for God to wash the earth with a flood because Noah and his descendants were the problem. God has to wash us. God has to cleanse us. And he does that by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you. Have you been washed? Have you been cleaned? Have you given your life to the risen King who is the only offering, the only sacrifice that can cover your sins? Are you ready? Are you ready? The signs are all around us, and we're going to get into this in this series, that Jesus is coming. Look, the Bible, the people that wrote the Bible thought he was coming immediately 2,000 years ago. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. How much more time does God have to give you to get your life right with him? I want to encourage you to do that today. Don't miss this series. Tune in every single week as we're going to unpack the signs that Jesus says we need to look for. Signs of the end of time and signs of his imminent return. Look, if you're a Christian, you need to be encouraged. The God who loves you, the God who sent his son to save you is coming back for you. Coming back for you to bless you. No eye has seen, no mind has imagined what God has in store for those of us who love him. And if you're not a Christian, what are you doing? What are you doing? Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can save you, and this is your opportunity. I want to encourage you, if you want to give your life to Christ, go to move.sc/followJesus, and we will email you if you email us. Look, the Bible says that there's a book in heaven, and your name is either written in it or it's not. If you write to us, we'll write to you because we want your name written in heaven forever. So at the end of time, when we're all judged and the books are opened, your name will be called by Jesus. And that's my prayer for you. So I want to encourage you to just stay with us in worship. And once again, thank you so much for those of you who give, because you gave, 400,000 people got to watch Easter on Facebook. Almost 40,000 people got to watch Easter on sandalschurch.tv. Thank you so much. People in 45 countries around the world. Who'd have thought? A little tiny church that started in a home in Riverside, California, would be broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ to 45 countries around the world. And that only happens because you give. Thank you so much. God bless. Let me pray for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus that we would be encouraged and we would be ready for your return. God, that when you return, we would be found obedient, doing exactly what you've called us to do. So, Father, bless us, comfort us, and help us to know you are still in control. You are still God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
anything like me, then what this situation has taught you or has made you realize is how much we need God. And as Pastor Matt was talking and he was sharing about being ready for the return of Christ, if you need God in your life, if you're ready to place your faith in Jesus, then we want you to go to move.sc/followjesus, and we will connect with you and help you make sure that you're ready when that time comes. And listen, I'm sure you've got friends who are wondering the same thing. What's going on in the world and what happens next? Invite them to watch Sandals Church with you. We'll be here every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at live.sandalschurch.tv. We want to help spread this message, this hope that we have in Jesus, with the entire world. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we can't wait to see you next weekend.